WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Here in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention, a ceremonial roll call vote is taken, with delegates expected to any time now nominate Vice President Kamala Harris. She officially became the nominee after a virtual roll call vote earlier this month. Later tonight, former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle are to speak. Congressman Mike Quigley represents parts of Chicago.
We have two of the great orators of our time speaking tonight. I have complete faith that they know what to say and how to say it in a manner that I wouldn't have even thought about.
A little under 2 miles away from the DNC venue, Chicago police arrest pro-Palestinian protesters during a downtown demonstration outside of the Israeli consulate. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump is on the campaign, making a stop earlier today in Howell, Michigan, appearing with law enforcement officers behind him.
A crime-free America. We're going to stop violent crime in the United States.
The Arizona Supreme Court clears the way for voters to decide on a constitutional right to an abortion. Israeli protesters in Jerusalem hit the streets holding signs reading "Sorry," an apology for the news that the bodies of 6 more hostages were retrieved from the Gaza Strip. Shay Dickman has this message for the Israeli government.
We must bring back our people as long as they are alive, and the deal that is now on the table can bring them back.
After meeting with fellow mediators, Egypt and Qatar, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says a ceasefire deal needs to happen soon. Maui is launching an AI-driven fire sensing technology, CBS's Allison Keyes reports.
Maui's Department of Fire and Public Safety has deployed 16 sensors that sample the air and use AI to give an early warning of fires. Key fire personnel get alerts in real time. This as the island is moving forward with recovery, including building permanent and temporary housing for those displaced. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
A law that bans corporal punishment in all schools in Illinois goes into effect this school year. More from CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Illinois will be just the 5th state to have such a prohibition. New Jersey, Iowa, Maryland, and New York bar paddling, spanking, or hitting in all of their schools. Legislation signed into law this month bans physical punishment in private schools in Illinois starting in January and reiterates the ban on spanking in public schools, a ban that was first put in place 30 years ago. The law doesn't apply to homeschooled students. 17 states allow some sort of corporal punishment in all schools. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Las Vegas hospitality workers at Venetian reach a tentative deal on their first ever union contract. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris rallied a crowd of thousands at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum Tuesday night.
We're not going back. We will move forward. Just like Wisconsin state motto tells us, forward!
Her speech was streamed to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. And earlier in the day, a visit from the Trump-Vance campaign, Republican nominee for Vice President J.D. Vance, came to Kenosha.
We are going to end sanctuary cities in this country. We're going to bring back pro-law enforcement cities. We're going to support the death penalty for drug dealers because they kill far more people than some of the most violent and vicious criminals.
We're now 2.5 months away from the election, so no doubt we'll keep seeing lots of each campaign here in Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Cardinals open up a 3-game series tonight at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Milwaukee's Frankie Montas against the Cardinals right-hander Eric Fetty. The Brewers with an 11-game lead ahead of the Cardinals in the division, coming off that sweep of the Cleveland Guardians. The Cards losing to the Dodgers Sunday 2-1. NFL, Packers back at practice after losing in Denver 27-2. Quarterback Sean Clifford on what he could have done differently in the game.
It's tough to say just now, Broadly, speeding it up a little bit, I thought that there were some plays to be made where my eyes were just late. When you're playing guys like Pat Surtain and, you know, the Broncos once, you just can't be late. And if you are, it's going to either, you know, result in an incompletion or an interception. So I thought that was, you know, when we had plays and we made plays, it was on time.
That's Packers backup quarterback Sean Clifford. They face the Ravens Thursday in a joint practice. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, nice day, high mid-70s. Partly sunny and upper 70s Thursday, chance of showers late. Showers linger into early Friday, then heating up into the weekend. Currently at 62 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning from Chicago, we'll wrap up day two of the Democratic National Convention and the warm reminiscence during Barack Obama's comments.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
This is a Civic Media News special report. Continuing live coverage from the DNC in Chicago, we now join WCPT and Mike Crute.
Votes, and then it was eventually California's term, and California Governor Gavin Newsom, he gave a bit of a long-winded sidewinder, and the ceremonial number of delegates were cast for Kamala Harris. Then she took the stage in Milwaukee. They have resumed the DNC. Harris and Walz, along with about 19,000 in Milwaukee, are going to watch these speeches from Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. And right now, we've got speeches going on right now. Currently on the stage, we've got U.S. Senate candidate Angela Alsobrooks, a Democrat from Maryland. This is a keynote. Once upon a time, this was Barack Obama's slot. The Dems must think a lot of Angela. Let's listen to Angela Alsobrooks.
By women like my grandmother. Women who imagine a better future and then have the grit to make it a reality. One of those women is a friend, a mentor, and a role model. That woman is Kamala Harris. Let me tell you about the Kamala I've known for 14 years. I first heard about her in 2009. When I was running for state's attorney in Prince George's County, Maryland. I read a story in Essence magazine about a district attorney in San Francisco using new ideas to keep her community safe. Few had a better record prosecuting violent crime. She put rapists, child molesters, and murderers behind bars. But what she knew was that violent crime accounts for about 30% of all crimes. For the 70% that are nonviolent, she created a first-of-its-kind program called Back on Track. After serving time and pleading guilty, these low-level offenders will get the job training, GED help, and apprenticeships they needed to find a job. The result? The recidivism rate plummeted. Now, after reading about this super bad district attorney, I talked nonstop about her on the campaign trail. 2 days after I won the election, my phone rings. It's Kamala Harris calling to congratulate me and ask how she could help. She helped me bring Back on Track to Maryland. And wouldn't you know it, crime went down and economic growth went up. Back on Track is now a national model. Now Donald Trump says if Kamala Harris is elected, tough guys will treat her like a play toy. Do you know who else thought that? The drug cartel she busted. The big oil companies she made pay for polluting. The big banks that she made pay $20 billion to homeowners they ripped off. Getting justice for others isn't a power trip for her. It's a sacred calling. And hear me, Kamala Harris knows how to keep criminals off the streets. And come November, with your help, she'll keep one out of the Oval Office. Ever since Donald Trump rode down that ridiculous escalator, we as a nation have felt trapped. Every national decision has been made in reaction to this one man and his extremist MAGA movement. We are still frozen by the fear that Donald Trump might once again come to power. And it's not just our politics that have been trapped, it's our imagination. And then Kamala came along. Kamala has reminded us that we don't need to fear anything, not the future, and certainly not that man. This is our moment to leave Donald Trump where he belongs, in America's past. We stand with Kamala Harris because we as a country are not going back. For the ancestors who sat at lunch counters and made sure that we all had the right to vote, we are not going back. For the mamas and grandmamas who marched to make sure that women could control our own bodies, we are not going back. For the parents who work from can't see in the morning until can't see at night, not so that they will have a better future, but so that their children will have a better life. We are not going back. When facing an obstacle, my father has often said to me, your faith is stronger than your fears. Tonight, our faith is stronger than our fears. Faith in the promise of America, faith in the American idea, in the American values that we share, faith that we, the people, can choose a new leader, a better future for the people. Faith that as dark as our days and challenges have sometimes felt, it's always darkest before the dawn. We know that we can endure for a night because joy cometh in the morning. Morning is coming. Morning is coming. And that joy will be led by Kamala Harris. Thank you so much.
That was Angela Alsobrooks, U.S. Senate candidate, Democrat from Maryland. She got the keynote speaking part this evening. It is still going to be a big night. We've got Illinois' own Tammy Duckworth, the honorable U.S. Senator. We've got the second gentleman. We're waiting on Douglas Imhoff. And if that wasn't enough, Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. Michelle's anticipated to speak about 9:45. She will introduce her husband, Barack. 10 o'clock, the former president expected to speak tonight.
Alsobrooks, a new morning in America, or a new day in America. Sounds very Reagan-y from the 80s, man.
It's morning in America. Well, I got to tell you, Dom, my impression is tomorrow doesn't matter, although the next 77 days do. But the parties at the DNC, they go all night. So early morning, I hope no one's got an early wake-up call. The
only Earl
delegate breakfasts. They got to get up and they got to suck it up and go down and see the, I mean, they're getting political who's who at every breakfast. You know, the big shots, all of the big candidates. The Wisconsin delegation started yesterday with Chuck Schumer introducing Tim Walz.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Is that what you heard?
I've seen photos. Today, the Wisconsin Dems had Governor Andy Beshear and I forget who else, a few others, big names. But these delegations, these big-name politicians, and I bumped into Josh Shapiro out in the hallway before he not only cast the votes for Pennsylvania, but we're pretty sure cast the votes for Puerto Rico. No, Tim says no. Bill Press thought yes, but Tim says no. Pardon me, Matt says no. Here. So, you know, want to stay on the straight and narrow. Now, I made reference to 57 million viewers. That apparently, that source, because I did check, came from the DNC. They said 20 million television viewers.
The Nielsen.
And like 37 million streamers. 57 million.
Streaming. Okay.
They are apparently including streaming. That does seem like a grandiose number, 57 million people, but... You know, the kids today don't watch the TVs the way they used to. But thankfully, you're either streaming us or you're listening to us on the radio, 8:20 a.m. right here in Chicago, the host city of the DNC, 9:50 a.m. in Minneapolis, or all the multitude of stations that Civic Media has in the greater Wisconsin marketplace.
Keeping the streaming audience aside, the Nielsen television audience for the first night of the DNC still was much larger than it was for the RNC.
Millions larger than it was for the first evening of the RNC.
Like,
yes.
20-30%, if I'm maybe?
I would say 10%.
Never do the math on the radio.
Don't do the math on the radio. Yes.
But there were more people watching here, more excitement at the DNC, certainly, as evidenced by the Nielsen. And, man, if you got 27 million people streaming on the web, ma'am, that's and hopefully, given the way that this campaign has unfolded, lots of those folks would be on the younger side. Let's just put it that way. My understanding, John Giles, the mayor of Mesa, Arizona, he's wrapping up. Senator Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, I believe, should be.
John Giles, the mayor of Mesa, Arizona, he's a Republican. And he was one of a few Republicans, Anna Navarro being one of the other prominent Republicans. Kinzinger, my understanding, going to give a speech at this DNC this week. But the Dems working in a few Republicans in the mix. Also, Stephanie Grisham, the former Trump White House press secretary. She was on the speaking platform earlier this evening. So it's amazing. I didn't remember any Democrats speaking at the RNC, Don, but there's a handful that are speaking at the DNC tonight. It sounds like we got Tammy Duckworth, the senator from the great state of Illinois. Of course, we're here in Chicago for the DNC. She's going to get a warm welcome in Chicago. Here's Senator Tammy Duckworth. Baldwin, my senator in Wisconsin. Senator Tammy Duckworth from Illinois takes the stage at the DNC in Chicago. And the crowd loving on her.
You know, I went to war to protect America's rights and freedoms. So I take it personally when a five-time draft-dodging coward like Donald Trump tries to take away my rights and freedoms in return, especially when it concerns my daughters. My girls, gamer girl Abigail, and queen of the monkey bars, Miley, are everything to me. But they would never have been born without access to reproductive care. Because after 10 years of struggling with infertility, I was only able to have them through the miracle of IVF. But now, Trump's anti-woman crusade has put other Americans' right to have their own families at risk. Because if they win, Republicans will not stop at banning abortion. They will come for IVF next. They'll prosecute doctors. They will shame and spy on women. And if you think that's far-fetched, just look up what happened in Alabama last year. So let me say to every would-be parent, I see you. I'm with you. And together, in November, we'll send a message to old Cadet Bonespurs. Stay out of our doctor's offices, and while you're at it, out of the Oval Office, too. Look, my struggle with infertility was more painful than any wound I earned on the battlefield. So how dare a convicted felon like Donald Trump treat women seeking health care like they're the ones breaking the law? How dare J.D. Vance criticize childless women on cable news, then vote against legislation that would have actually helped Americans to start families? How dare the GOP endanger the dreams of countless veterans whose combat wounds prevent them from having kids without IVF, punishing our heroes for their willingness to serve? It's simple. Every American deserves the right to be called mommy or daddy without being treated like a criminal. Kamala Harris believes that. So, let's make some history and elect her in November. God bless America.
Senator Tammy Duckworth from the great state of Illinois addressing the DNC Cadet Bonespurs. You know, I love these attacks on the service record of Tim Walz. 24 years of honorable service. Donald Trump, five-time draft dodger, our understanding.
Not only the five-time draft dodger, also lamenting the suckers and losers. Why would they do that? Could even, what, go out and visit the graves in Europe from World War II because it might get his hair wet? I mean, the guy denigrates everything and everybody that's not Donald Trump.
I heard a theory on why Donald Trump denigrates the service of those that serve in the military, because he sees it as almost a socioeconomic final resort for the poor man. Because it's not the rich man's kid. It's not Fred Trump's kid that served in Vietnam.
Oh, no. He had
bone spurs. It's the poor man's kid. It's the guy that needs some money to get to college. It's the guy that, you know, can't make it in the world, because they don't have the benefit of rich parents, and they need to go work a little bit harder to make life work. Well, Donald Trump sees that as some sort of a welfare program.
Wow.
Service to our nation. And that's why he thinks they're suckers and losers, because, of course, he's rich enough. He never had to disgrace himself by serving the nation in such a way. What do you think of my little theory?
I think it's about as possible as anything, man. I mean, and the man serves himself. He didn't serve the nation while he was in the White House. He serves himself. And occasionally, if his needs and wants align with his other, you know, rich billionaire Wall Street buddies, as AOC would say, then he'll pass what? The tax cuts, because that's what Republicans do. That is the answer for all that ails. It's like the miracle cure for everything. Tax cuts.
Well, if Robitussin won't fix it, a tax cut will.
This is what I'm saying.
They are playing video, Second Gentleman Douglas Imhoff, to come to the stage soon. They're showing a lot of historical video and pictures of Doug growing up, Doug being a parent in his own regard, and, of course, marrying Kamala Harris, and she became step-parent to his two children. And
Mamala.
Well, you know, if you believe J.D. Vance, you know, it doesn't count because she didn't biologically birth those kids and, what, then go play grandparent to their kids, dropping out of any work.
Wow, I mean, that's the only possible role for a postmenopausal woman is to take care of the babies.
That is the statement made by, sometimes described as weird,
Well, that was the statement agreed to by weird J.D. Vance, one of his many, many weird stances.
Doug Imhoff, the second gentleman, coming to the stage very shortly. You're listening to very special extended live coverage right here on WCPT 820 AM, KTNF 950 AM, and across the Civic Media Network in the great state of Wisconsin. Now here he is, Mr. Kamala Harris, second gentleman, Douglas Imhoff. Is this Cypress Hill? I tease.
Thank you, Cole. I guess he didn't want me to give this speech. He just... Thank you. Thank you so much. Hello. Thank you.
And the crowd now armed with Doug
Hello
science.
Hello to my big, beautiful, blended family up there. I love you so much. Aren't you proud of Cole? Wow. And a special shout out to my mother. I see you. My mother is the only person in the whole world who thinks Kamala is the lucky one for marrying me. And to Kamala, who, well, we just saw where she is. She's out on the trail listening to and talking with voters. Honey, I can't wait for you to come back to Chicago because we're having a great time here. I love you so much. I'm so proud of how you're stepping up for all of us.
I don't recall
but that's who
Trump's
she is.
Wife going on stage
wherever
and
she's needed,
expressing her undying love
needed,
to the
Kamala
former president.
Kamala rises to the occasion.
Well,
and she did it for me and our family.
Are you talking about former President Barack Obama? Because she did plagiarize Michelle Obama's
she's
speech
showing
prior.
You what we already know she's ready to lead. She brings both joy and toughness to this task, and she will be a great president we will all be proud of.
There's something that's been missing
now,
for a long
time. Now, I'm
the
son of two Brooklynites, Mike and Barb. They've been together almost 70 years. My dad worked in the shoe business in Manhattan. And he moved our family out to New Jersey. Where's New Jersey? I see you out there when I was a little kid. And in a lot of ways, I had a typical Jersey suburban childhood. I biked around the neighborhood. I took the bus to Hebrew school. And I rode to Little League practice in the way back of my coach's wood-paneled station wagon. And if we did well, we got to have a Slurpee after. In my neighborhood, everyone left their garage door open. Wherever you ended up at dinner time, that's the family that fed you. Everyone took care of everyone else. And the guys I grew up with are still my best friends. The group chat is active every day, and it's probably blowing up right now, guys. When my dad had to get a new job, we moved across the country to LA. Money was tight. Hey, California. Money was tight, so I worked at McDonald's in high school for some extra cash. Not only was I employee of the month, but I still have the frame picture, which you just saw, and there was a ring, golden arches and all. And then I waited tables, parked cars. I was working full-time so I could afford to go to college part-time. And thanks to partial scholarships, student loans, and a little help from my dad, I got myself through law school. And I got my first job as a lawyer. which is also where I met the guys in my fantasy football league. And a lot has changed in our lives since the early 90s, but my team name is still Nirvana. Yes, after the band. I worked hard, and I love being a lawyer. And by the way, I still get to be part of the profession by teaching students at Georgetown Law School. I got married, became a dad to Cole and Ella. Unfortunately, I went through a divorce, but eventually started worrying about how I would make it all work. And that's when something unexpected happened. In 2013, I walked into a contentious client meeting. We worked through the issue, and by the end of the meeting, the now happy client offered to set me up on a blind date, which is how I ended up with Kamala Harris's phone number. Now, for generations, people have debated when to call the person you're being set up with. And never in history has anyone suggested 8:30 a.m. And yet, that's when I dialed. I got Kamala's voicemail, and I just started rambling. Hey, it's Doug. I'm on my way to an early meeting. Again, it's Doug. I remember I was trying to grab the words out of the air and just put them back in my mouth. And for what seemed like far too many minutes, I hung up. By the way, Kamala saved that voicemail. And she makes me listen to it on every anniversary. But that message wasn't the only unusual thing about that day. Now, Kamala, who normally would have been working hard at her office, just happened to be waiting at her apartment for a contractor to do some work on her kitchen. I was eating at my desk, which was not a regular occurrence for a busy lawyer like me who appreciated a good business lunch. But that's when she called me back. And we talked for an hour, and we laughed. Well, you know that laugh. I love that laugh. And maybe that counted as our first date. Or maybe it was that Saturday night when I picked her up and told her, buckle up, I'm a really bad driver. Because you can't hide anything from Kamala Harris, so you might as well own it. And as I got to know her better and just fell in love fast, I learned what drives Kamala. And it's what you've seen over these past 4 years, and especially these past 4 weeks. She finds joy in pursuing justice. She stands up to bullies just like my parents taught me to. And she likes to see people do well, but hates when they're treated unfairly. She believes this work requires a basic curiosity in just how people are doing. Her empathy is her strength. Over the past decade, Kamala has connected me more deeply to my faith, even though it's not the same as hers. She comes to synagogue with me for high holiday services, and I go to church with her for Easter. I get to enjoy her mom's chili relleno recipe every Christmas, and she makes a mean brisket for Passover. It brings me right back to my grandmother's apartment in Brooklyn. You know, the one with the plastic-covered couches. But Kamala has fought against anti-Semitism and all forms of hate her whole career. She's the one who encouraged me, a second gentleman, to take up that fight, which is so personal to me. And those of you who belong to blended families know that they can be a little complicated. But as soon as our kids started calling her Mamala, I knew we'd be okay. Ella calls us a three-headed parenting machine. Kamala and Kirsten, thank you both. Thank you both for always putting your family and the kids first. Now, Cole and Ella's friends knew that when they'd come over for Sunday dinner with Mamala, it was going to be real talk. In between taking cooking instructions, they'd have to answer questions about what problem they wanted to solve in the world. They learned that you've always got to be prepared because Kamala is going to prosecute the case. And in the same breath that Cole and Greenlee told us that they were engaged, they asked Kamala to officiate their wedding. And in the same way that she always steps up when it matters, Kamala put so much time into those remarks, and she bound them in a book that matched her dark red dress, and then turned that into a gift for the happy couple. A few days ago, during this incredible time we're going through, there was a brief window when Kamala was back at home. And I saw her sitting on her favorite chair, and in the middle of a wild month, I just hoped that she was having a quiet moment to herself. But then I realized she was on the phone. And of course, my mind went to all the potential crises that the vice president could be dealing with. Was it domestic? Was it foreign? Was it campaign? I could see she was focused, and all I knew was that it must be something important. And it turns out it was. Ella had called her. That's Kamala. That's Kamala. Those kids are her priorities, and that scene was a perfect map of her heart. She's always been there for our children, and I know she'll always be there for yours too. Kamala is a joyful warrior. It's doing for her country what she has always done for the people that she loves. Her passion will benefit all of us when she's our president. And here's the thing about joyful warriors. They're still warriors. And Kamala is as tough as it comes. Just ask the criminals, the global gangsters, and the witnesses before the Senate Judiciary Committee. She never runs from a fight. And she knows the best way to deal with a coward is to take him head on. Because we all know cowards are weak, and Kamala Harris can smell weakness. She doesn't tolerate any BS. You've all seen that look, and you know that look I'm talking about. That look is not just a meme. It reflects her true belief in honest and direct leadership. And it's also why she will not be distracted by nonsense. Kamala knows that in order to win, we cannot lose focus. America, in this election, you have to decide who to trust with your family's future. I trusted Kamala with our family's future. It was the best decision I ever made. This Thursday will be our 10th wedding anniversary, which I know it means I'm about to hear that embarrassing voicemail again. However, that's not all I'll be hearing. That same night, I'll be hearing my wife, Kamala Harris, accept your nomination for President of the United States. And with your help, she will lead with joy and toughness, with that laugh and that look, with compassion and conviction. She'll lead from the belief that wherever we come from, whatever we look like, we're strongest when we fight for what we believe in, not just against what we fear. Kamala Harris was exactly the right person for me at an important moment in my life. And at this moment in our nation's history, she is exactly the right president. Thank you so much.
Folks, you're listening to special extended live coverage right here on WCPT 820 AM. Doug Imhoff, the honorable second gentleman of the United States,
I mean, those are some pretty personal stories.
Those are some funny stories. A little self-deprecating. You love that, man. And
strap in. I'm a terrible driver.
I having to play the...
No offense, man.
the voicemail. And as mentioned, it says apparently their anniversary this Thursday. I hope she plays the voicemail.
Well, now we're going to take you to the featured speakers, Michelle Obama. And she's coming to the stage in Chicago. And you know they're going to love some Michelle Obama here. She will introduce her husband, former President Barack Obama. We still call him President Obama. But soon, I expect we'll be calling her President Kamala Harris in Milwaukee at the Fiserv Forum. About 18,000 sticking around for the simulcast. The video stream of Michelle Obama's speech will take you there to the DNC right here at the United Center live. Michelle Obama on the stage.
Okay. We got a big night ahead. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much. Wonderfully magical is in the air, isn't it? Yeah. You know, we're feeling it here in this arena, but it's spreading all across this country we love. A familiar feeling that's been buried too deep for far too long. You know what I'm talking about. It's the contagious power of hope. The anticipation, the energy, the exhilaration of once again being on the cusp of a brighter day. The chance to vanquish the demons of fear, division, and hate that have consumed us and continue pursuing the unfinished promise of this great nation. The dream that our parents and grandparents fought and died and sacrificed for. America, hope is making a comeback. Yeah. But to be honest, I am realizing that until recently, I have mourned the dimming of that hope. And maybe you've experienced the same feelings, that deep pit in my stomach, a palpable sense of dread about the future. And for me, that mourning has also been mixed with my own personal grief. The last time I was here in my hometown was to memorialize my mother, the woman who showed me the meaning of hard work and humility and decency, the woman who set my moral compass high and showed me the power of my own voice. Folks, I still feel her loss so profoundly. I wasn't even sure if I'd be steady enough to stand before you tonight, but my heart compelled me to be here because of the sense of duty that I feel to honor her memory and to remind us all not to squander the sacrifices our elders made to give us a better future. You see, my mom, in her steady, quiet way, lived out that striving sense of hope every single day of her life. She believed that all children, all people have value, that anyone can succeed if given the opportunity. She and my father didn't aspire to be wealthy. In fact, they were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed. They understood that it wasn't enough for their kids to thrive if everyone else around us was drowning. So my mother volunteered at the local school. She always looked out for the other kids on the block. She was glad to do the thankless, unglamorous work that for generations has strengthened the fabric of this nation. The belief that if you do unto others, if you love thy neighbor, if you work and scrape and sacrifice, it will pay off. If not for you, then maybe for your children or your grandchildren. You see, those values have been passed on through family farms and factory towns, through tree-lined streets and crowded tenements, through prayer groups and National Guard units and social studies classrooms. Those were the values my mother poured into me until her very last breath. Kamala Harris and I built our lives on those same foundational values. Even though our mothers grew up an ocean apart, they shared the same belief in the promise of this country. That's why her mother moved here from India at 19. It's why she taught Kamala about justice, about the obligation to lift others up, about our responsibility to give more than we take. She'd often tell her daughter, "Don't sit around and complain about things. Do something." So, with that voice in her head, Kamala went out and she worked hard in school, graduating from an HBCU, earning her law degree at a state school. And then she went on to work for the people, fighting to hold lawbreakers accountable, strengthening the rule of law, fighting to get folks better wages, cheaper prescription drugs, a good education, decent health care, child care, elder care. From a middle-class household, Kamala worked her way up to become Vice President of the United States of America. My girl, Kamala Harris, is more than ready for this moment. She is one of the most qualified people ever to seek the office of the presidency. And she is one of the most dignified. A tribute to her mother, to my mother, and to your mother too. The embodiment of the stories we tell ourselves about this country. Her story is your story. It's my story. It's the story of the vast majority of Americans trying to build a better life. Look, Kamala knows, like we do, that regardless of where you come from, what you look like, who you love, how you worship, or what's in your bank account, we all deserve the opportunity to build a decent life. All of our contributions deserve to be accepted and valued. Because no one has a monopoly on what it means to be an American. No one. Kamala has shown her allegiance to this nation, not by spewing anger and bitterness, but by living a life of service and always pushing the doors of opportunity open to others. She understands that most of us will never be afforded the grace of failing forward. We will never benefit from the affirmative action of generational wealth. If we bankrupt a business, or choke in a crisis, we don't get a second, third, or fourth chance. If things don't go our way, we don't have the luxury of whining or cheating others to get further ahead. No. We don't get to change the rules so we always win. If we see a mountain in front of us, we don't expect there to be an escalator waiting to take us to the top. No. We put our heads down. We get to work. In America, we do something. And throughout her entire life, that's what we've seen from Kamala Harris. The steel of her spine, the steadiness of her upbringing, the honesty of her example, and yes, the joy of her laughter and her light. It couldn't be more obvious. Of the two major candidates in this race, only Kamala Harris truly understands the unseen labor and unwavering commitment that has always made America great. Now, unfortunately, we know what comes next. We know folks are going to do everything they can to distort her truth. My husband and I sadly know a little something about this. For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. Tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs. Look, it's his same old con. His same old con. Doubling down on ugly, misogynistic, racist lies as a substitute for real ideas and solutions that will actually make people's lives better. Look, because cutting our health care, taking away our freedom to control our bodies, the freedom to become a mother through IVF like I did, those things are not going to improve the health outcomes of our wives, mothers, and daughters. Shutting down the Department of Education, banning our books, none of that will prepare our kids for the future. Demonizing our children for being who they are and loving who they love. Look,
we'll be back with more from the Democratic National Convention right after this.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. In a ceremonial roll call vote at the Democratic National Convention, Vice President Kamala Harris wins the nomination for president. CBS's Matt Piper is at the DNC.
That is what it sounded like when California cast all their votes for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, putting them over the edge here in a ceremonial roll call of votes from each and every state of the United States.
Harris is at a rally in Milwaukee with over 15,000 attendees in the same venue where Republicans held their convention last month. With Governor Tim Walz by her side, she tells delegates in Chicago by video.
We are so honored to be your nominees. This is a people-powered campaign, and together we will chart a new way forward.
Former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle will deliver the keynote address tonight. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The governor's task force on the healthcare workforce in Wisconsin is giving more grants to employers so they can attract and retain staff. Other recommendations included in the task force report, education and training, and regulatory policies. The governor will include the task force's ideas in his next budget. And it's an annual contest that can be a lot of fun. The whole goal is to highlight some neat things that are made right here in Wisconsin. Here's James Kelly.
Nominations are now being accepted for the 9th annual Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest. Nominations can be submitted on the contest website through September 6th. To be eligible for the contest, the nominated product must be manufactured in a Wisconsin-based facility. Voting will be open to the public and will feature a bracket-style tournament to name the eventual winner.
Every year, it's a big honor for the winner. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tome Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Well, if you've already spent 3 hours in the theater watching the first installment of Kevin Costner's Horizon, American Saga Chapter 1, hoping to see the next 3 hours, Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 2, in theaters, you can't, because it was pulled due to low interest. The title doesn't help. But fear not, Costner fans. Chapter 2 premieres on Max Friday, August 23rd. Fearless comedian Eric Andre says he was racially profiled at the Melbourne airport in Australia. The star of his own show, The Eric Andre Show, in the film Bad Trip, was in Australia for a gig when he says he was pulled out of the security line to be sniffed by the dogs. He said this is not the first time it's happened and currently has a lawsuit pending against the airport in Atlanta for the same type of treatment. Those of you who are fans, I know what you're thinking, but Andre was fully clothed when the incident happened. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, nice day, high mid-70s. Partly sunny and upper 70s Thursday, chance of showers late. Showers linger into early Friday, then heating up into the weekend. It's 60 right now.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public service announcement at 11:33. Send your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Don't go anywhere. Our coverage of the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, continues in just a moment with more speeches from Michelle and Barack Obama, anchored by Mike Crute from the Devil's Advocates radio show. Stick around. We'll return in just a moment.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinair on Air.
Pete Schwabe.
The next Nightlight is only available to stream on Facebook, X, and YouTube. But that won't stop us. Comedian and TV host Mike Toomey joins the show and Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.